That's quite a bunch. Got one locked up? All right. Well, welcome to Harvest Christian Assembly. Glad for all the mothers in this place. Before we get to our text this morning, let me tell you this. I got another story. It starts out one afternoon. A man came home from work, and as he drove his log truck and parked it in the driveway, he noticed three kids, ages 6, 4, and 3. They were all outside playing in the mud. And there were a couple empty cereal boxes, a candy wrapper strewn all over the yard. The front door of the house was open, and so were the doors to the wife's car. Walking into the house, the man found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. The TV was blaring out some cartoon show. A pile of sugar was in his recliner, and the family dog was foaming at the mouth, running around in circles. Obviously, it had been licking the sugar. There were dirty clothes scattered all over the living room, and his kids' toys were as well. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. And a broken pitcher that had probably once contained Kool-Aid was all over the floor. The refrigerator door was wide open, and it looked like the dog had also probably drug out several items, including at least a dozen eggs. The man was really beginning to get worried, and had something happened to his wife. And so he quickly runs upstairs, stepping over more toys and piles of laundry and clothes, and opened up the bedroom door. And there he saw his wife, curled up in the bed, still in her pajamas, reading her favorite book. She looked up and smiled at him and asked him how his day was. He looked at her totally confused and said, "What in the heck happened here today?" She smiled again and answered, "Well, you know how every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world I did all day?" "Well, today I didn't." "Today I didn't do it." Oh, boy. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Listen, I don't know about your house, but not so much now. Well, maybe. Yeah, when Kimber's in the house, who knows? We owe a great gratitude of debt to our mothers. Amen. Father, this morning as we turn our attention maybe from the silly and the humorous, Lord, to the reality of Your Word. The reality of the contribution that mothers make. I pray, God, that You'd anoint this preacher to teach Your Word, to preach Your Word, to declare the truth of Your words. Lord, possibly offending some, but Lord, at the end of the day, my desire is I'd rather offend man than offend God. And so, Lord, I pray today that this message would bring You glory and honor, and that it would stir in the hearts of men and women the value of a man or of a woman. And I just thank You for all these things now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. And amen. I just want to again say thank you for all that the moms do. Oftentimes, mothers are taken for granted. Moms expected to have the dinner made. Moms expected to have the laundry done. Moms expected to have the floor vacuumed and the bills paid and the groceries bought and this and that and the other thing. But guys, I speak from experience that it won't hurt you to have palm olive hands. Amen? It won't hurt you to throw a load of clothes in the washer. Is this working? Got really quiet. That's not the case for everybody, okay? But it is true. It is true. There are some. There's a mom in Scripture that I think as long as I've been in ministry and been a Christian, I don't know that I've ever heard a Mother's Day message preached on this woman. I've preached on Samuel's mom. You know, she dedicated him to the Lord, but there's another mother that I hope at the end of this message that you'll have a newfound appreciation for the acts and the steps of faith that this lady took. And so stand with me this morning and turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This will be a familiar story to some. Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called him his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes of understanding to the understanding of your word today. God, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, for your anointing to declare it and for the body's anointing to receive it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Familiar passage of Scripture. This passage covers the birth of Moses, but the focus is on the mother of Moses. Isn't it interesting? If you go back and read chapter 1, you'll find that the Hebrew children, the Israelites, they were under the rulership of Egypt. They were slaves. They were in bondage. Not just the men, mind you, the women as well. And the Hebrews were growing in numbers, and so Pharaoh decides to put a stop to it, and he says, "Listen, from now on, you midwives, when you midwives help deliver a baby, if it's a boy, cast it in the river, that it would drown. Little girls, not a problem. But these little boys, we got to do something about that." And so they were cast into the river. This story tells us how Moses' mother saved Moses from being killed by the king. How she, in fact, trusted God to take care of her baby boy. And Moses' mother was a godly mother. She was a young woman that trusted God with all of her heart. And when we survey the pages of human history, godly mothers are few and far between. Mothers who truly believe God, who have the courage to stand up for God and for His demand for righteousness and purity. Look at the culture that we are in today. I'll be very honest with you. I'm glad that I'm not raising kids today. Some of you are, and you have a job ahead of you. Mandated in God's Word. We have to come to the place, folks, where we have to make a hard decision. Well, it's not a hard decision, but the decision needs to be hard in that it needs to be solid. It needs to be firm. It needs to be an unwavering decision. And that is that as children of God, as men and women, as mothers and fathers of God, we have got to draw a hard line in the sand and say, if it's not God's way, it can't be any way. The culture, our culture for decades has been, boy, I'll tell you what, I'll probably get letters for this, but in the business of killing babies. As I was putting this message together, the thought crossed my mind. It was happening then as well. Every baby boy that is born, kill it. Throw it in the river. Get rid of it. Dispose of it. We're seeing it in our culture today, folks. We're seeing it. But Moses' mother, she did not deny. I mean, she hid the child, yes. But when it got to the point where he was too much to hide, she did exactly what Pharaoh said and put him in the river. Hello. Albeit she did modify how she did that. There was a plan orchestrated, I believe, by Almighty God in the fact of how she did it, why she did it, when she did it, where she did it. This edict was only a recent thing. Moses already had an older sister named Miriam. He already had an older brother, and it was fine. He was healthy, everything. But it was Moses that was on the chopping block. Hello. There have been mothers within every generation who have given all that they are to God, who are totally committed to follow after the righteousness and the purity that is demanded by God. Listen, His Word, church, has not changed. His Word remains the same. Men, He's still calling us to purity. He's still calling the men to be men of God. Men that guard their wives and cover their wives. And the man is to be a covering under Christ over his wife. That's our job, men. We're to raise our kids, whether they like it or not, in the fear and the admonition of Almighty God. That's our job, men. I know this is Mother's Day, but the men need to hear this as well. Moses' mother was a Hebrew. She was of the tribe of Levi. She was a slave. Her family were slaves of the lowest social rank and position imaginable. Remember that Israel had probably been enslaved for 100 years or more, and the parents of Moses were slaves when they married. They were slaves. So this means that both the mother and the father worked as slave laborers, as beasts of burden. They made bricks. They were abused. They were yelled at. They were probably cursed and beaten at the whim of the slave master. In all reality, they were poor, most likely poverty-stricken. They lived in a small, poorly furnished house or even a shanty. They had few, if any, possessions to call their own. They had no opportunity to do what they wanted to do. And they could not better themselves. Moses' mother had no social standing within society, no decent clothes, no possession, no rank, no position. She was a slave. She worked in the brickyards or in the fields or as a servant of some wealthy Egyptian. Yet God was to use this humble mother, this enslaved woman, beyond imagination. She was to give birth to one of the greatest men that have ever lived. From the very first, Moses was seen to be no ordinary child. Moses' mother knew he was no ordinary child the moment that he was born. Saw him as different. There was something about him, and it was evident that God had a special purpose for the life of this baby child. That's why she protected him. That's why she went against the mandates of Pharaoh and protected this child until she couldn't hide him anymore. And so I absolutely believe, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, she put him in a basket, an ark, literally, of sorts, and put him in the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter came to the river to bathe and to get cleaned up and to cleanse herself and heard the baby crying and sent for the baby to be drawn out of the river. And when she saw that it was a Hebrew child, by accident, I don't think so. By direct mandate and order of the Holy Spirit, Moses' big sister just happened to be standing there on the riverbank. Would you like me to go and take this baby to one of the slave women and maybe they could nurse this child? Just happened to have one in mind. His own mother. You think God isn't orchestrating this whole deal? God had a special purpose for him. And so believing this to be true, the parents defied the Pharaoh's edict and kept their son alive. And it wasn't easy to do because all the Egyptians were now Pharaoh's special spies watching for babies to be drowned. And before in chapter 1, if you go back and read chapter 1, they had these midwives, and the midwives under the unction of the Holy Spirit, they weren't telling all that they knew. And they said to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh questioned them, Pharaoh said, "Listen, what in the world's going on? Why are all these children being born and not being dealt with?" And the midwives said, "Well, you know, those Hebrew women, they're a hardy bunch. They're a hardy bunch. They're tough women, man. They go in, they get on their little stool, and bam. They have the child before we can even get there and take care of it." And so Pharaoh involves everybody in the whole place. "If any of you see one." This mom was trusting the providence of God, and God did not fail her. See, when the princess came to the Nile to perform her religious bathing, she saw the basket, discovered the baby, heard him cry, and her maternal instinct told her to rescue the child and care for him. I believe provoked by the Holy Spirit of God. So God, God used a baby's tears to control the heart of a powerful princess. He used Miriam's words to arrange for the baby's mother to raise the boy and get paid for it. Ha! How cool is God? She even got paid to raise her own kid that she was supposed to kill. The phrase "as weak as a baby" does not apply in the kingdom of God, because when the Lord wants to accomplish a mighty work, often He starts by sending a baby. Hello. It was true when He sent Isaac. It was true when He sent Joseph. It was true when He sent Samuel and John the Baptist. And it was especially true when He sent Jesus. See, God can use the very weakest things to defeat the mightiest enemies. Here's one. It was a baby's tears that were God's first weapon in His war against Egypt. Think about that. The cries of a baby. Look again at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2. "So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months." See, verse 2 covers a long period of time. It's at least 9 months long. Just this verse. She conceived, bore the son, saw that he was a beautiful child, hid him for 3 more months. So we're up to, you know, in one verse. Picture for a moment the uneasiness of Moses' parents when the mother discovered that she was pregnant. It had to be a scary time. Remember, she's a slave. Imagine their concern and their anxiety and their fear, the uncertainty, wondering what would happen if the child was in fact a boy. What would we do? What could we do? I know what they would do in this culture, probably. Abort it. We can't take the chance. Because we don't trust in God enough. Well, how am I going to raise the child? How about trusting in God? How about that? We don't want to hear about that. Well, you're going to hear about it this morning or turn it off, one or the other. My job is not here this morning to make you feel good. My job is to tell the truth and to provoke us unto righteousness, God's Word says. month after month, for 9 long months. They would have prayed and they wondered. They did their best to try and figure out what would we do if the child is in fact a boy. And then the day came. And sure enough, their worst fear became a reality. A baby boy, Moses, was born. Well, I guess the only thing we have left to do is just go throw him in the river. Late-term abortion. Let me just say this, because we're talking about Moses' mom. And what Moses' mom did was courageous and righteous. Wasn't popular. It wasn't safe. It was courageous and it was righteous. She did what was right. She hid the child for 3 months. Why would she do that? What would make her risk literally her own life to save the life of her child? Well, the same thing that has driven many mothers to save their child's life when that child was threatened. There was a sense of love and of duty, of responsibility, of righteousness, of justice, and the sanctity of human life. The point is this. Moses' mother was a courageous, righteous woman. This thought keeps coming up in the back of my mind, and so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you're in this room this morning, or if you're watching by way of the internet this morning, and you have aborted a child, I want you to know God will forgive you. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. God will, in fact, forgive us. Don't let the devil tell you that you're just going to go to hell for what you've done. You've killed the baby. Yeah, you did. But God will, in fact, forgive you. So we have to put a stop to the lies of the enemy right away. When she looked at Moses, when she held that baby, God gave her a sense that this child was special. He was a gift. He was a very special gift from God. He wasn't just another baby, although he was just another baby, but he was a baby that was born under the unction, under the protection of Almighty God. His life was important to God. Can I tell you something? Your life is important to God. I don't care who you are, what stage of life you're in, how much you have or how much you don't have. Your life is important to God. It doesn't make a difference what you've done or what you're going to do. Your life is important to God. He died on the cross to redeem you and I. Your life is important to God. God's purpose for this child was far more important than even the mother's love. And so she wanted to save the child, not only because she loved him, but also because he was a special gift from God. And so she hid him for 3 months. Day after day, week after week, for 3 long months, she hid this child from the authorities and from the neighbors and from everybody that might be a threat, which everybody was a threat. Her own family could be a threat. Because what if her family did throw their child in the river? What makes you better than I am and you kept your child and I had to throw mine away? Can you just hear it? I can hear it in my mind. I can hear those things going on. I can hear that argument being put forth. But she said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is I'm following what I believe to be the voice of the Holy Spirit of God in my life concerning my child. And I saved him. I did it. But she's hiding him from everybody. Somebody might report the child's presence. And again, she hid the child at the risk of her own life. Moses' mother was a godly woman, a courageous woman, and a righteous woman. Moses' mother had prayed and trusted God to save her child and to use him in God's service. Listen, we got to get people, we've got to get the Word of God out. We've got to get the voice of the Scripture out into the highway. Listen, they can pass laws, judges can make rulings, all that can happen. But unless there's a change at the level of the heart in the American people, we are still going to be undone, because righteousness cannot be adjudicated. Righteousness comes from above. Righteousness is a choice that you and I make. Moses' mother prayed and trusted God. There's a novel idea. Do you understand why God said one man, one woman, no sex until you're married? Hello? Did this quit? John, check. Did this quit? Because it's important what I'm saying, folks. We live in a culture where sex is number one priority. If you don't believe me, turn your TV on. Forget about the movie. Watch the commercials. It's terrible. It's terrible. God's calling His church to wake up. He's challenging us to wake up. To go back to one man, one woman, no sex until we're married. You're not going to Best Payless Shoes or whatever and trying on a pair. Did I say that? It's supposed to be a surprise on your wedding night. It's not supposed to be a comparison that we make. If you've been divorced and remarried, I'm not mad at you. I'm guilty. But at some point in our life, we've got to say, listen, I did say until death do we part. And so you're stuck with me. It's true. We get a little bit of an argument or a spat, and we're like, well, I'm just going to go get a different one. And it don't work. I know I'm probably talking to 90% of us. But somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to call the church back to a stand of righteousness. Somebody's got to say, if it ain't me, who's it going to be? Church, He never said walking with Him was going to be easy. He never said taking a stand was going to be easy. But listen, to stand before Him on Judgment Day and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, will more than make up for the ridicule and for whatever we have to endure here on this earth. God was looking after. He was taking care of the baby Moses. Do you think for one moment He won't look after and take care of your children? I got grandbabies that are running amok, folks. I got grandbabies that are running amok. I've got kids that have run amok. Their daddy ran amok. They come by it very, very natural. But at some point, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to stand up and say, I'm done with this. I'm calling on the church, not just the mothers, to rise up, to take a stand against the society. Moses' mother actually witnessed the sovereign guiding hand of God. When's the last time you were led by God's hand? When's the last time you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did what God wanted you to do? He said, I'll never leave you. I've felt like He's left me before, but I know it was me that left. Church, we're living in exciting yet scary times. And I believe that God, listen, I'm believing that God's going to build a nice building out there. I believe that. But I am not believing that God's building going to build a nice building out there just so we have some nice place to gather. It's going to be a hospital for lost people. It's going to be a place where, listen, if you can't dream big enough to think that it might be a saving place, it might be a place that God directs women that are carrying a baby, that are fighting a battle. Do I keep the child? Do I get rid of the child? Moses' mother fought this same battle in her own head. What are we going to do? We're pregnant. Well, let's just trust God. Let's just trust God. You got to know that they were probably thinking, maybe it'll just be a girl and it'll be all right. They didn't have ultrasounds. They didn't have, they couldn't look in there from the outside. They didn't have baby showers according to the gender of the child. They had to wait until the day. And they didn't have to call in a biologist. Hello. Mama, hey, I'll do the preaching. Mom and dad had apparently a special anointing from God. They were able to tell right off the bat. Boy or girl, based on their plumbing. Nothing's changed. You can't decide at 4, 5, 6 years old, I don't like this, I want to do something different. It don't work that way. Moses' mother experienced just how God works all things out for good for those who truly love and follow Him. Romans 8 and 28 says, we know all things. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We got this all messed up. We think it's about us. It's not. It's about Him. It's about His purpose for your life. Let me just tell you this. God is sovereign. God possesses all the power. God can do anything. Mike, if He could save me, He could save anybody. I promise you. I promise you, I've not done everything right. Fact is, I've probably done it wrong more often than I've done it right. But I'm still in the game. I'm still in the fight. I'm still looking for one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You hit some bumps along the way. You got bucked off a time or two, but you got your foot back in the stirrup and your butt in the saddle. Was I supposed to say that? Church, happy Mother's Day. God has a plan. God has a purpose. I feel as led to say this next thing as I felt led to say what I said before, but if you have been party to the aborting of a child, I want you to know that you have an opportunity to see that child again one day. Because I believe with all of my heart that God has taken that child and is now in heaven. And you will see it again. And you will be able to love on that child and hug that child. I believe that with my whole heart. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that won't happen. God loves you. God has a purpose. And God has a plan for your life, for your children's life. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. But we have to ask for it. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Father, I have said all that you've asked me to say this morning. And I pray, God, because I know that there are mothers and dads either in this room or watching by way of the internet that have lived through the act of abortion. Literally the ending of a life. And they're hurting. The only thing that will heal the pain is the blood of Jesus. The healing balm of Gilead. The care and the comfort of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There is hope in a man named Jesus. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. My Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. This pastor doesn't condemn you, because in order to condemn you, I have to condemn me. There is therefore now no condemnation. Lord, I pray this morning Maybe you're here today. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Today's your day. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. What matters is what you do with your life from here on out. That's what matters. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, people are praying. If you've never accepted the Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, today's your day. He's willing and He's waiting to minister to you. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's you. You are literally whosoever. I am a whosoever. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross was shed for you and for me. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for you and for me. My Bible goes on to say that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, today's your day. And if you will, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you right now. Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. Father, this morning, You know the heart of every individual in this place. And right now, Lord, I just ask that You would minister to those hearts. I pray Your Holy Spirit, just like Your Holy Spirit spoke to Moses' mother, Your Holy Spirit can speak to the hearts of every one of us in this room, every one of us watching by way of the internet. Your Holy Spirit can speak in our lives. Your Holy Spirit can bring conviction in your life. Your Holy Spirit can cause it from inside of each one of us to well up a desire to say, God, forgive me. Save my soul. Lord, I pray to that end right now. Every person watching by way of the internet this morning, I pray if you're not saved, that you'll ask God to come into your heart. That you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sins. That you'll ask Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That you'll lay all of your sin at the foot of the cross. You don't have to name them all. You just have to say, God, I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner, and I'm laying it all down and asking You, Lord, to wash it away. To write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Endue me with power to walk on this earth until You call us out of here or I go by way of the grave. And God, for that, we'll give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day again. Hug your mom. If your mom's still here, hug her.